This is an ABC podcast.
At Yaldia, in the Great Victorian Desert, stories hover between earth and sky. It's also a site of many layers of historical, cultural, and, for Frances Rings, personal significance. Frances is, of course, the new artistic director of Bengara Dance Theatre, and Yaldia is her first full-length choreographic work since taking on the role. I spoke with Frances about Yaldia.
Yaldia is about a place in the far west of South Australia, near the WA border. It's on the edge of the Nullarbor and nestles into the Great Victorian Desert. It's one of the most important Aboriginal sites in Australia. The traditional name for it is Yildil Gubbi, and it is on Gugutha country. This was an important site for ceremony, for trade, and many tribes gathered there. It was the epicentre for cultural exchange and practices, and it was a vibrant place. Very rarely in the desert is there sites of permanent water, but Yildil Gubbi was a place. So it was a reliable source of water, which made it was a full, vibrant, dynamic, sacred site of great importance to Aboriginal people. It was also a site that was much sought after by explorers, settlers and colonisers, and more importantly for the creation of the Trans-Australian Railway, which joined WA to the rest of the states in the early part of last century.
I know that you're a lover of history, and this is a country, like you've said, that's got very rich history to it, and one that's kind of quite layered. What actually prompted you to tell this story?
I think history really gives us insight into who we are today. And in Australia, we have two stories to this country. We see one story every day when we're out in the mainstream, when we turn on the television. But, you know, you have to search out the other side to our history, the other story. And that's what drives me. That's my passion, is to ensure that that other story has a platform, that it gets heard, and that we have this beautiful place at Bengara to tell those stories. So it's a special story because it is so close to me. My father worked on the railway, so I grew up with that. It's a really important part, like a parallel part to my history. But also my grandmother, my mother's born very close to that area. My family have strong ties and connections to Yaldia and to that far west coast region. Yeah, so it's special in that way as well. So I think that the more we get insight into those layers of our history, that, you know, progress, industrialization, and how we grew as a country, that came at an expense. And it's important, especially today, especially in the conversations that we're having and that we're moving towards as a nation, that those sides get to be heard. It doesn't mean that we are saying that shouldn't have happened. We're saying that this happened, but also maybe that if we had known better, maybe if there was more thought, more consideration, more understanding and conversation with Indigenous peoples, that that site would still be a living, breathing cultural heart today. Unfortunately, the water has been exhausted. The cultural authorities, they allow that place to sleep and to recover from everything that's happened to it. And that deep respect for country. Blackfellas carry that, you know, as a part of their body, as a part of their everyday responsibility. And that's what wasn't understood back then when, you know, that place was exploited for the benefit of our country.
I mean, Bengara has always taken very seriously the role you play in the community and sharing stories of communities we don't often hear from. What was it like to go to the community and ask them if you could share their story?
So we have a creative and cultural life cycle that is the framework for the creation of our works and the guideline to engaging with community, to seek permission, to do research, and to be able to collaborate with a community and have their endorsement to be able to tell their story. It begins and ends with that. We don't have a story if we don't have community who give permission and who allow us to tell that story. So when I had this idea for telling this work, I had asked one of the elders and kinship way, I call her mum, and her name's Maureen Smart. She is a well-renowned elder who works a lot in education. She lives in Yalata community, Aboriginal community, and my cousins all live, and my cousin Lauren lives there, so she was able to connect us up, and I brought them to Adelaide to see Woojung, Stephen's incredible show for the Adelaide Festival, and I told them about the work that I wanted to do and the idea, and they saw Woojung, and I think after Mum, Maureen had seen that show, she understood, and she was like, okay, let's get Bangarra to come to the board, the Yalata Aboriginal board, and do a presentation and do it the proper way, ask permission. So we went, and I mean, that was really, really, I was really nervous. It's intimidating because, you know, you can't just expect it because family, because they know you and your bloodline, that they're going to hand over a story. I don't live there. I live here in, you know, in metropolitan Sydney, and sure, I might be up the Central Coast, but, you know, I don't live on country. So I'm always cautious, and I'm always aware that I don't have a right to tell these stories, and I never assume that I do. And it's just a proposition about how incredibly important this story is, how we would like to share this story so that there's a better understanding of not only that place and the impact of that place, but how the people survived all of those events that happened to them, and how inspirational they are to have, you know, they live today, you know, practicing culture, speaking language, that they have communities that have their own Aboriginal schools that, you know, teach bilingual. And, you know, that's, I'm just so proud every time I go home and I see, you know, my grannies that are, you know, working, and they're, you know, they're just a part of, they're proud of who they are, but they also have this legacy of history. But that, you know, the shadow of that history does not define who they are today. They're proud. They stand strong in culture and law and language and customs. And I'm just so proud of that. We always want to give that sense of optimism. And that's why our stories are so important. And that's why they're the medicine, because, you know, today we need that more than ever. And Blackfellas always look back to go forward. We've got to look back and acknowledge before we take a step forward. And that's part of who we are. And if we don't do that, we get pulled down pretty quickly. So, you know, I went, and, you know, long story short, they gave me permission. Mum was really instrumental at being able to, you know, translate that into language and talk about seeing Woojung and seeing how important that story was. And, you know, there was dance, and that there was music, and it was, you know, it was done in a theatre, and just that medium for how we communicate our story and being able to translate that. And yeah, they gave permission. So I've been back for, you know, numerous research trips, taken the creatives back. The dancers have been there. And, you know, that's such an important part of being able to tell the story the right way, is making sure that, because we know we're not all the same. And, you know, there are nuances, there are distinctive differences. And if you don't get that right, then, you know, why tell their story?
You mentioned doing a couple of research trips as well as creative trips. Can you tell me about being on country looking at it with your choreographer eyes rather than just kind of someone who is in a space?
That's a really great question, because I actually don't look through my choreographer eyes when I'm on country. I just become like a child and just absorb all the information through my eyes and through my gut, just the sense of feeling, the sense of history, the sense of light and smell and textures and all of those things. It's just taking that in. It's getting a palette. And if you had a blank canvas, I guess it's like an immersive experience where you just fill up the bucket. You don't have, like, I don't go in there and go, oh, you know, I want seven dancers to create a shape that represents a water hole, or, you know, because I don't know what it is until I get into the studio. But before I get into the studio, I've done so much research and had so many conversations and meetings with the other creatives and with the cultural authorities and consultants, that it starts, the story starts to want to tell itself. And there are things that will rise to the top and resonate more than other things. Other things will just fall away. And it's those things that you go, okay, there's something there. There's something, you know, about that event that's really important. And, you know, it's even how they talk about these events. It's often with this deep sense of respect, nostalgia, and this sentiment that is always connected to elders and those that were at the front line of colonization. So it's not an angry bitterness, but it's this sense of deep understanding and respect for those events that happened out there, from, you know, the impact of, you know, the construction of the railway line, to the missionaries that came through and the influences that they brought, to the rations depots that were set up that started to, you know, erode that connection to bush life, and, you know, this dependency on rations. And also, you know, you can't tell the story of the Far West region without Maralinga and the effects of the atomic testing that still impact on community and people and country today. So I've never heard of, really struggled to think of a place worldwide that had those consecutive events impact on them within, you know, some of them were in 50 years of each other, and survived that and survived today. And just this sense of empowerment in those communities and the Aboriginal governance and leadership is incredibly inspiring. And it just fills me with, I don't know, just I'm so proud. I'm proud that my bloodline links back to that country. And I feel a deep sense of privilege that they have entrusted me to tell this story, and the dancers, and for Bangarra. Mm.
You mentioned that it's not until you're in the studio that you really feel a work kind of unlock. What is that moment? What's that section in the show that was the first kind of piece for you?
I myself don't work alone. Often the perception is that a choreographer kind of creates, you know, in a bubble, but it's actually really deeply collaborative. And I'm constantly looking to my co-creators and design team to, you know, ensure that we're all on the same page. We started off, my creative team consists of a cultural astronomer, who is Carly Noon, and the work actually opens with a piece called Supernova. Supernova is about this connection to sky country, that country that's overseen and that we have had a connection with, that's ensured our survival through all of that knowledge that's embedded in sky country, and the lore and stories that connect us to that, and how, you know, that relationship has been a part of us since we began here, and how that first, through creation and destruction of a star, and those elements that arrived here from the element of water that arrived here on an asteroid. And, you know, we know that water is our, that's, there is nothing more precious than that for desert people. We can walk past a nugget of gold and, you know, that doesn't, that's insignificant compared to, you know, the care, the understanding, the knowledge of knowing where water is, the diversity of water and the water routes that crisscross the desert. So, you know, it was incredible to work with Carly Noon. And Electric Fields have done a couple of pieces. They've collaborated with our chief composer, Leon Rogers. Leon Rogers was our David Page Music Fellow last year, and he's an incredible composer. Jenny Irwin, who, you know, I can remember her fitting me for costumes back in, you know, Praying Mantis Streaming. And, you know, so she's, her understanding and knowledge and the beautiful textures and the world that she lives in costume design is incredible. Karen Norris, Moriori woman, who did the lighting design for me for Terrain. And this year we have Elizabeth Gadsby, who is an amazing set designer. And the other thing about this work is the incredible contributions of the dancers. So I might go in there with an idea to explore. But, you know, once they've been on country and they've, you know, we carry them along for, you know, all of this research. We always start off when we're starting a piece, we sit down and we just talk. And we get big pieces of paper and we've got pens and, you know, we've got research books and we've got, you know, we're looking at videos and documentaries and, you know, we're even ringing consultants and asking them questions. But it's this deep sense of laying the ground first. And that has to be the preparation that happens. You have to prepare it so that it's right for story. And sometimes story will, like, you know, you can kind of start creating movement, but it feels really thin, really shallow. It's like, oh, it's not ready yet. Okay. Well, we just keep kind of, you know, tasking and talking and keep trying different or coming at it from a different perspective. And then things will click and the magic starts to happen. But the dancers have been just wonderful. They work so hard and they contribute so much. And I wouldn't have been able to tell this story without them, actually, you know, because they give so much. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that, you know, they feel that they can do that. They feel that their contributions are welcomed, that they can be, they can explore. And they also make space for each other. And they also, you know, when things don't work, they're okay with that. And we just move on to the next thing. And I think, you know, that part of it, you know, the process can be a bit rough if you don't have thick skin, you know, and you might have done all this beautiful choreography and exploration, and I'll look at it and go, I love it, but it's too pretty and it's not saying what we need it to say, and we have to start again. And we just keep doing that until we find, you know, the seeds will start to drop, and it's like, okay, we've got something now, this is saying something.
You've mentioned that for the community, this water soak is now a sleeping place. But given its importance to the story, were you able to visit it?
Yeah, I was able to visit it, and it's just so peaceful, powerful, and it's like you go there and you just want to whisper. Because you know how important it is. You don't want to leave your footprints. You just, I wasn't expecting to visit it, but Mum had made that decision and we were just going out. And actually what happened on that day was I was able to pass by. I've always wanted to see the lake near where my mother was born. And we passed by there and we stopped and I was able to just have a little walk, and it was so special, you know, because always in my mind I was like, where, you know, I know that she's born in the bush, but what does it look like? What are the colors? What is, you know, she would have been a baby, you know, picking up things and crawling around. And so that was such a joy to finally be there. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to take my children there one day. But yeah, it's, you know, it's so special. And yeah, you just, it's important for those places that they, you know, they've been through so much and they just need to rest now, and they need people to respect the community's decision for that, which people do. And, you know, I think it's, I mean, the wonderful thing about Yalata and a lot of those communities out there is that they have a ranger program that is ensures that they're on country, that they're caring for country, that there's monitoring going on for, you know, the impact of, you know, introduced species on native species, and, you know, that data is collected. They've got such deep understanding of country and the management and care for it. Yeah, it's, they got it all sorted out there. It's incredible. They could teach the rest of the nation a thing or two, definitely.
My very last question is almost taking us back to the start, which is, Frances, this is your first full-length choreographic work as the artistic director. Does it feel different?
It does feel different. It feels different because I feel like my feet are firmly grounded. I feel like I'm coming at it from the right place. I feel that I have a confidence, but I also have the trust to allow others to take over the space, and I can step back and know that, you know, we're both on the same team, that we're both there for the same reasons. I think that there's this, you know, when you no longer have to question yourself. I mean, you always question yourself. You know, you got to have big shoulders to, you know, be in this position, because there's so many considerations that you need to make. You know, there's our industry. There's, you know, the political message that we're saying. There's the community that we're working with, ensuring that that's right. There's the wider Indigenous community that are, you know, looking at you as well. So, you know, it's, I'm always questioning if I'm doing things the right way. I have to trust my gut a lot. I have to look to my team, but also I have to be grounded and humbled. You know, our stories keep me humble. Working with community, with those cultural consultants, and sharing this journey with them is such an important experience, because, you know, you don't become a leader and then wear that name tag and forget about that every day there's a lesson that you need to learn. Every day there's a step forward, you know, to every day there's a mountain to climb that's going to teach you something new. And, you know, I think you accept disappointment. You accept that, you know, you make mistakes, but also it's about how you pick yourself up again. And I think that, and the rest of your team as well. So, yeah, I'm so proud. I am an Aboriginal woman who didn't, you know, I picked a career that I started training when I was a young adult. And, you know, I think I have to remind myself that I'm here for the right reasons. It chose me. I didn't pick it. So I guess I'm meant to be here.
Frances Rings is the artistic director of Bengara Dance Theatre and the choreographer of Yuldea. Yuldea opens at Sydney Opera House on the 14th of June and is on until the 15th of July. After that, they'll head to Canberra Theatre Centre on the 20th to the 22nd of July, Her Majesty's Theatre in Adelaide on the 10th till the 12th of August, Queensland Performing Arts Centre on the 31st of August to the 9th of September, Arts Centre Melbourne on the 28th of September to the 7th of October. And then finally, they'll head to Bendigo's Alumbra Theatre on the 13th to the 14th of October.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.